In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Louisa is the saint of the divine will. And this is what's so great. It's so magnificent of what God is leading us to, this new, if you want to say, beginning that God wants to breathe in us again. And we're going to get to some very, very powerful readings, not today, but as we enter to the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, everything makes sense. Why we have to have Louisa. We have Jesus. We have Mary. Why do we need Louisa Picaretta? We have everything. We have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And Jesus is going to show us through the teachings of Louisa, what he taught Louisa. And Louisa didn't want to write any of this down. She was a very humble, very little person. And she didn't want to write anything down. But under the obedience to her confessor, she wrote everything down under the pain of sin. She had to put everything down that Jesus told her. And she didn't want to do this because she felt she was the littlest, most insignificant of all people. And yet Jesus is going to show us as we continue to read the three missions, Jesus is going to continue to show us how important this little person, this little nothing was to Jesus and Mary. So we're going to begin with volume 12, January 17th, 1921, the three fiats, one of creation, the fiat of the celestial mama for redemption, and now the third fiat of Louisa for the kingdom of the divine will. And Jesus chooses the lowliest creatures. So if we think we're pretty good, it's because Jesus is looking to find the littlest, the most insignificant people. Why does God do this? Because people who think that they're pretty important, think that they're pretty good, think that they're pretty holy, think that they're pretty intelligent, God can't use. He can't use them because you have to have this docility. You have to have this surrender. You have to have this submission. That's what Our Lady gave when she said, "Fiat mihi, let it be done to me. I'm the little slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you wish. As you want." This humility, this docility, this surrender is how God works. The others, basically, if you think about it, scripture says, those that are filled with pride say, "I will not serve. I will not obey." Where the little humble ones like Our Lady says, "Let it be done to me as you wish." And so here, it's going to be, why God has chosen us. We're nothing. We're nobodies. We are insignificant to the world. And our job is to live in that nothingness, live in that littleness. Father Bucci would say, little, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden to begin to live in the divine will. And this littleness, this insignificance, this hiddenness is exactly what our God wants for us. Why? Because God can work miracles in nothing. But if there's something there, it's already there. If we think we're pretty important, if we think we're pretty smart, intelligent, we're pretty whatever, God goes, fine. You already have what you want. You're focusing on yourself. So Jesus teaches Louisa to forget about yourself and to focus on him and him alone. So she says right at the beginning, "I, Louisa, felt my poor mind immersed in the immense, the sea, this ocean of the divine will." So that's what's going to happen with us. God is going to teach us how to dive into this infinite ocean of God, this infinite ocean of love. And he wants us when we pray, prayers are not just rote. Prayers are not just, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." I got my rosary done. You know, if prayers aren't going to church and in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance, to read a book. Well, I got this good book. I read this good book while I was there. And it's like, no. What God wants from us is He wants to hear from our hearts what we believe. Remember what He said to the apostles, who do people say that I am? And what does Peter say? Peter says, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ. And then what does He tell them? He says to Peter, no mere man has told you this, but my Father in heaven. And then He says, and I, for my part, say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock, this faith, this church, I'm going to build my church. So here, she felt her poor mind immersed in the immense ocean of the divine will. See, this is what our God is asking. Are you willing to allow God, Jesus Christ, and His mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, to bring you into this new beginning, okay, into this ocean of love? See, the divine will is love. It's just pure love. You have the Father, creation. You have the Son, redemption. And now you have of the Holy Spirit, this sanctification, which we are going to dive into this infinite ocean. What Jesus tells Louisa is, I want you to drown in it. I want you never to leave this infinite ocean of divine sanctity. So what do? When we go to Holy Mass every day, we hear the priest say every day, when he puts the drop of water into the chalice, we are that nothing, that drop of nothing. That drop of water hits that wine, it fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled Himself to share in our humanity. The sharing in divinity is sanctification. When we read the second epistle of Peter, what does Peter say? St. Peter says, we are called to be divinized. Called to be divinized. And what we've learned so far from the saints is how to be good and holy and saintly. But when we begin to understand who Louisa is, Jesus is showing us that He wants to bring us back to where Adam was before the fall. So I like to go back to, what was Adam's DNA like? What did Adam's DNA look like when God breathed the Ruah of God, the breath of God, into the dust? What came out of the dust? We say Adam. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. And that's what God wants to bring us back to. So Jesus has come to earth to redeem us after the fall of Adam. And now this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit is this fire from heaven is going to come to sanctify us. Because what did John Paul II say? John Paul II said very, very clearly, he said, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Get ready for the glory of the church. Don't worry about what's going on. Jesus said to Louisa, they're going to try to destroy my church. Jesus says, they're going to try to destroy humanity. Jesus says, let them. He says, Louisa, you and I, you, my mother and I, he says, are going to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And when you watch The Dawn of a Mystery and you listen to Archbishop Icheri, he says very, very clearly, there is no one in the history of the church that explains how the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. How the fulfillment of the Our Father is going to take place. He says, this is Louisa's job. And for some blessed reason, God has given us the book of heaven. And all He asks is, I want you to know what I'm going to do. I want you to know how and why I'm going to do this. And as we read the book of heaven, as we get closer to Louisa, she teaches us how we can immerse ourselves in the immense ocean of divine love. We enter into this gift, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. That's what sanctification is, to be in Jesus's image and Mary's image and likeness, to become like Jesus and Mary. And Jesus shows this very clearly. And nobody has received this yet. Louisa did. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn in the divine will. But the Lord is asking us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Are you willing to begin to put down what you want, to give that up, so that the kingdom can begin and be established in you on earth as it is in heaven? So she says, Louisa says, I could see the mark of the fiat everywhere. I saw the fiat in the sun, and it seemed to me that the echo of the fiat in the sun brought me divine love. See, Adam saw the fiat in all of creation. He was in God's image and likeness. So he saw this, and he gave back to God this divine, I love you. He breathed in this Ruah of God, this breath of God, this divine, I love you. And then he breathed back to God this divine, I love you. Image and likeness. And so what Jesus is teaching us is through what he says to Louisa, I could see the mark of the fiat everywhere. Do we see the I love you of God in every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, every drop of water? Do we see the I love you in creation? Do we see the I love you of redemption, where Jesus shed every drop of his blood to redeem us? Mary, at the cross with Jesus, co-redeems with Christ. She's with him on Calvary, dying, watching her son crucified. This is what Jesus is asking of us. Do you want to begin to see the fiat in all of creation? The I love you of every animal, vegetable, and mineral is an I love you to us from God. And he says, do you want to see the I love yous in redemption? Everything that Jesus and Mary did, even in those silent years, those hidden years, She says, I saw the fiat in the sun, and it seemed to me it was the echo of the fiat of the sun brought me divine love, which darted through me. Now, that reminds me of when we see the ecstasy of St. Teresa, or the ecstasy of St. Catherine. These arrows of love going through their hearts. It darted through me, flashed through me. This piercing of the I love you of God, which is humans don't understand this piercing of this love of God. And she, listen to it, this divine I love you darted through me, wounded me, flashed through me. And I, on the wings of the fiat of the sun, I went up to the eternal one. See, heaven is going to come to earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, exactly the way it's in heaven. Jesus says, I want to see no difference between heaven and earth. Whether you're on earth or whether you're in heaven, I want everyone to participate in this divine I love you. How does that happen? Being brought this great gift of the divine love darting through us, wounding us, flashing through us. And then, like Louisa, on the wings of the fiat, returning back of the sun, returning back to the eternal one, giving back to God what is God's, bringing the name of the whole human family, past, present, and future, that love which darted, wounded, and flashed through the supreme majesty. That's what Jesus the love that Jesus has for us is so astonishing. Jesus said he could have redeemed us by, okay, you're forgiven. I redeem you. But he, Jesus, wanted us to see him loving us so much that he was willing to die for each and every one of us. And this is why every drop of his blood was shed. He died for us. And he asks us, well, the saints tell us that when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven and we see God, we're going to see a crucified God. a God who was crucified, a God who died for us. This is just so astonishing. Why? She says this, the wings of the fiat of the Son, it went up to the back to the Eternal One, bringing in the name of the whole human family. Jesus is asking us to stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach for the Israelites. Jesus is asking us to stand in the breach of all of humanity, past, present, and future. Where we are in a saintly way, in a good way, a holy way, we pray for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners, the people we know. You know, you see somebody sick, oh, I'm going to pray for them for their healing. Jesus says, basically, he wants us to pray for this universal healing that's coming. This new beginning of everyone being healed. Everyone that was healed 100 years ago is dead. Jesus says, I want the miracle of miracles to happen to mankind. I want them to enter into this, this healing so that our DNA, which now says get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, become food for worms. That's our DNA right now. To be returned to what it originally was in the Garden of Eden, as it originally was in Adam. So Jesus comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve. And what they want is sanctification so that we can be in the image and likeness of Jesus, image and likeness of Mary. That's what they gave to Louisa. And that's what God wants to give to us. This is why God has given us the Book of Heaven. He's going to show us the how and the why. The kingdom of God is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what's really interesting is the evil one has been banished from heaven, thrown out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning to the earth. Jesus knows that when the kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven, the evil one will be banished from earth. What does that mean? If the evil one is banished from earth, there will be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. See, what's coming is the kingdom. You know, there should be no doom and gloom in our thoughts, in our words. Everything we should learn, as Louisa, the echo of the fiat, to learn that fiat of Mary, fiat mihi, the fiat lux, let there be light. That now the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in me, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. Louisa says this. And I, in your fiat, you gave me, Louisa, all this love. And only in the fiat can I, Louisa, return this I love you, this divine I love you, back to you, Jesus. See, it's Jesus breathing in our breathing. It's Jesus beating in our heart beating. It's Jesus. He says to Louisa in volume 36, I made the human senses for God. God wants to gaze in our gazing, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking. God wants to use our senses for him. And we are to participate what God is doing in us. And Jesus says, it will seem when you finally live in the divine will as God has planned, it will seem that you are doing this, but in reality, God is doing this in us. We pray it all the time. Jesus, pray. What did Peter say when he saw Jesus walking on the water? What did he say to Jesus? He says, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. And Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on water. Humans don't walk on water. But what did he do? He took his prayer and he says, now it's your command, which means it's going to happen. This is the trust that Adam had in Jesus. And he walks 20 feet and he sinks and he cries out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus grabs Peter and says, he then goes, great job. You walked 20 feet and then you sank. He says, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? You see what God wants? He wants us to so trust in him. Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command that we can say what Jesus said. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. Most people pray continuously all their life, begging God, please, 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 please. And they go, he doesn't answer my prayer. Look at the healings. The woman who was suffering for 18 years, she said, if I touch the hem of Jesus, because in Leviticus it says, if you touch the hem of the Messiah, you will be healed. If I only could touch his hem, I will be healed. She touches Jesus's hem, the tillet on the prayer shawl. And Jesus goes, who touched me? He knew who touched her, him. Yet he wanted to hear from her. Why did you touch me? Why did you touch the tassel? And basically she said to Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah. And Jesus says, it's your faith that has healed you. See, we have to get to that point of that. That's why Jesus says the miracles that are going to come through the divine will, they have never been seen. They're prodigies unheard of that are going to come through the healings that are going to happen in the divine will. Miracles unheard of. And they've already begun for some people. They've already begun. And what is it? It's trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus, hope in Jesus, confidence in Jesus. He has to become our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our all. This is what God is waiting for. There's a fruit fly over here. Okay, sorry about that. So Jesus says, she says, so I looked at the stars. See, now she's in her gaze. She says, with her mind, she could see the mark of the fiat. I saw it in the sun. I saw it. And now I look, she's using her eyes at the stars, and I could see the fiat in the stars, in their sweet and mild flickering. This fiat brought me sweet love, hidden love, compassionate love, even in the night of sin. See, the one thing that's very, very important is, as he said, to the Pharisees, sick people need a doctor. I came for the sinners. That's us. That's us. Confession has to be part of our Catholic life. Confession has to be very much part of our Catholic life. And it's not just once a month it's to every evening as you're going to sleep, you go through your day. And you say to the Lord, this is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. It was not one with you, Jesus. It was not fused with you, Jesus. And then you remember that. So when you go to confession, this is how I lived. It's very, very important that we live in asking God to have mercy on us sinners. So what happens now? She's looking at the stars and she sees the fiat in them. Okay. And their sweet, mild flickering. The fiat then brought to me a sweet and hidden love, a compassionate love, even as I am a sinner, even in the night of sin. So what's really important is that this fiat is the love of God. This is why, what does Jesus teach Louisa? The very first thing that Jesus teaches Louisa is how to say fiat. To say to the Lord, fiat, let it be done as you wish. Let it be done as you command. Let it be as done as you want. So here she says, and I... In the fiat of the stars, in the name of all of humanity, past, present, and future, brought to the throne of the Eternal One, pacific love, all the love of humanity. Okay, so when you think about this, the church already teaches us that if you're the only one in church, and Jesus is in front of the blessed in the tabernacle or in the monstrance, you represent all mankind. So in the name of everyone and everything, and this is what Jesus is teaching Louisa, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you. I glorify you. You are my savior, my king, my master, my all. You are everything. And I pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And Jesus says, when you do this in the divine will, I hear all of mankind from Adam to the last person saying to God with your voice, I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. See, it's an explosion of I love yous. For every heartbeat, for every breath that was ever taken, for every step that was ever taken, for every thought, for every word, for every deed. That's how Jesus prayed. That's how Mary prayed. And when you learn the rounds, your prayer life can never be the same. You are filled with such joy. And St. Francis teaches us this. St. Francis said, if you're not joyful when you're praying, you are not praying. It's joy filled. Trusting in God, believing in God, hoping in God, confidence in God. See, this is what's happening. She says, this hidden compassionate love, even in the night sin, and I, in the fiat of the stars, in the name of everyone, past, present, and future, brought to back to the throne of God, the throne of the eternal one, the pacific love, in order to put peace between heaven and earth. See, it's not just our families. It's not just our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. It's all of mankind. That's our job. As Moses was asked to stand in the breach for the Israelites, Jesus is asking us to stand in the breach for all of humanity. That's what Jesus did. That's what Mary did. That's what they taught Louisa. And now our God is saying to us, would you want to participate in this true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which I've given to Louisa? Would you like to begin to live this abundant life? And when we say yes, God goes, good, good, prove it. So how do we prove it? It's by Jesus is going to teach us. Okay. So what's the next thing? He says, this love will put peace between heaven and earth. The sweet love of the loving souls, the hidden love of many others, the love of the creatures when they come back to God after sin, when they go to confession. But who can say all that I understood and did in the many fiats in which I saw all creation being absorbed? It would be too long, so I stop here. So what God is going to teach us is to see the I love yous in all of creation, to see the I love yous in all of redemption. And this is why I really honestly believe our Lord, in his mercy, has given us the movie done by Mel Gibson. We get a glimpse of the I'd love yous for everything that Christ went through in the Passion to show us how much he loved us. And it's only a glimpse. One of the things that happens in the divine will, Jesus says, is the gift that I give to the souls in the divine will is bilocation, but it's not the bilocation of the saints. Jesus takes us where he wants to take us. He will take us to Bethlehem to witness the birth of Christ. He will take us to Golgotha to witness the crucifixion and death of Christ. This is why we pray the Holy Rosary. We pray the Holy Rosary to remember what Jesus and Mary did. Our memory has to be of the new Adam and of the new Eve. That was the life of Louisa. And as we enter into this, nothing bothers us anymore. Nothing can bother us anymore. Why? Your memory. See, our intellect, we have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. That's why Jesus gave us our dogma and doctrine, why he gave us sacred scripture, why he gave us what the saints have said, how to do the will of God. But now Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you how to live in the will of God as Jesus and Mary did through Louisa. So our intellect, the first power that God has given us is back to God. The second is our memory. Most of us are focused on, they said this about me, they did this against me, they are whatever. God says, no. He says, stop your murmuring in your brain. Forgive. And he says, begin to live a life one with me. You know, when we look at the life of St. Augustine, he went back to God. We go back to God, especially after sin. We come back to God after sin, after confession. And what do we do? This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. And what do we say to the Lord? We say, I'll make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. Then God goes, okay, prove it. And then the struggle happens, is to avoid all the oppression that's all around us. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. To say, no, I'm not going to live this life. So Jesus says, well, how are you going to live? And then we say to Jesus, the way you taught Louisa. Then he goes, okay, prove it. The Lord, I mean, it's not just what we say. We've got to prove to Jesus what we're going to do. So what does that mean? As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, things change for us. But who can say all that I understood and did in the many fiats in which I saw creation being absorbed? But it would be too long, so I stop here. Then my sweet Jesus took my hands in his own. And squeezing them tightly, he told me, my daughter Louisa, the fiat is all full of divine life. That's what our God is calling us to. Even more, it is divine life itself. That's why all lives and all things come from within the fiat. When God said fiat lux, the universe was created. When Our Lady said fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. God became man. And now with the fiat voluntas tua in the Our Father that Jesus said to Louisa, this has to become your life. This has to become our life as well. It's full of divine life. It is divine life itself. That's why all lives and all things come from within the fiat. So when we learn how to say fiat in all situations, we are peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happiness. Our Lord has got great plans, but our human misery is overwhelming. And a lot of people say, well, we have the world, the flesh, and the devil against us. Jesus says, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will teach you how to live this life. How I breathe this life into Adam, and he lost it. How I breathe this life into Louisa, and she won't lose it. How can that be? Because he says, I am the new Adam. My mother is the new Eve. And he says to Louisa, therefore, you can't lose this life, this abundant life. Jesus says this, creation came from my fiat, and therefore in each created thing, one can see the mark of the fiat. In every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, there is the divine I love you of God. Redemption came from the fiat mihi, and my dear mother pronounced in my volition and carrying the same power of my creative fiat. And therefore, there is nothing in redemption which does not contain the mark of the fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother. She was one with Jesus in the fiat. First one. The Theotokos, Mother of God. And therefore, he says, she carried the same power of my created fiat. Therefore, there is nothing in redemption does not contain the mark of the fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother. Even my own holy humanity, my steps, my words, my works were sealed by Our Lady's fiat mihi. My pains, my wounds, my thorns, my cross, and my blood have the mark of her fiat mihi. Because things carrying the mark of the origin from which they come from. My origin in time was the fiat mihi of the Immaculate Mother. Therefore, all of my works carry the mark of Our Lady's fiat mihi. I remember when we were in the seminary, they said, it was my spiritual director. He said, do we have a relic of our the Blessed Mother? And everybody goes, no, we don't have a relic of the Blessed Mother. And he says, of course you do. He says, when you receive the Eucharist, you receive Our Lady as well. Flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone, blood of her blood. Do you see what Jesus is showing us? Therefore, all of my works carry the mark of Our Lady's fiat mihi. Her fiat mihi is in each sacramental host. If man rises again from sin, if the newborn baby is baptized, if heavens opens to receive man, it is the fiat mihi of my mother that marks and follows and provides everything. See, do you see what Jesus is doing? We need the Blessed Mother. She's the new Eve. We need Jesus. He's the new Adam. And who is this? It's Louisa, the newborn. Wait till you find out about her. Oh, the power of the fiat. It rises at every instant. It multiplies and becomes life of all goods. Of all goods. This is the fiat of God. This is why our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. Our Lord is so in love with us that he has given us the book of heaven. What when you read the book of heaven, sacred scripture becomes alive. When you read the book of heaven, your bravery becomes alive. When you read the book of heaven, the lives of the saints come alive. Why? Jesus is adding the colors, the shades, the hues, the tones. And as you read, you're going, oh my goodness, this is the love of God. But more than that, this is what God's going to shower us in. This is what he has. This is what he promises Louisa. He says, oh, the power of the fiat, it rises in every instant. It multiplies and becomes life of all goods. So Jesus is asking us, do you want to begin to live in paradise? Do you want to begin to live in heaven? He says, I'm going to teach you the way and the how to do that now before you die. He even said the resurrection. He said, I rose from the dead. Why? So that you, he says, mankind, he says, can rise from the dead before you die. He says, if you don't rise from the dead now, it's going to be a long time in purgatory. We have to learn this now. We are here on earth. Why? Why are we here on earth? It's to get to know who Jesus and Mary is, the new Adam and the new Eve, so that we can then live in the kingdom, live in the new Jerusalem. It's very close. It's very close. And so our life isn't to be afraid. We're not to be doom and gloomers. I mean, we should be filled with joy when we go to Holy Eucharist, when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Louisa would spend 2 hours preparing herself for Holy Communion. Then she would be the hour of Holy Mass, and then she would spend 2 hours in ecstasy after Holy Communion. Do we get to church late? Do we leave early? See that when we receive the Holy Eucharist for 15 minutes, Jesus is with us, in communion with us. That's why the Holy Mass ends right after we receive Holy Communion. Why? So that we can fall in love with God, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him. I mean, we have everything. And so what the Lord is saying is, I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you how to begin to live this abundant life. This is what God has planned. This is what our God is asking. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. How glorious is this? How glorious is this? To fall in love with God. And how do you fall in love with God? By falling in love with God. You spend time with him. And when you hear what he says, oh, the power of the fiat, it rises at every instant. It multiplies and becomes divine life of all goods. He says, now I, Jesus, want to tell you, Louisa, why I asked for your fiat. The Lord has asked for our fiat as well. How do we know this? He's given us the book of heaven. He's allowed us to live at this time. I ask for your yes in my volition, in my holy divine will. I, God, want the prayer which I, God, taught the Our Father, Fia Voluntas Tua, Sequel in Cielo et in Terra. I want your yes in this fiat. Jesus's fiat was fiat lux. Let there be light. Our Lady's was fiat mihi. And he says, now the prayer that I want you to learn is the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come and reign in me, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer of so many centuries, so many generations, to have its completion and fulfillment. Why are we alive today? It's right here. I want the Our Father to have its completion and fulfillment now. It's not 1,000 years from now. Just look at the world. It's not 1,000 years from now. What did Our Lady of Revelation say to Bruno in 1947? 40 days after Luisa died, Our Lady said to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And Bruno says, this is a proved apparition in the church. What did Bruno say? He said, the end of the world is at the end of the world. She says, no, it's the end of this era. The end of the evil one. That's why we are alive today. Why? So that the fiat voluntas tua, sequel in cielo and in terra, after so many centuries, after so many generations, is now going to have its completion and fulfillment. So who's here today? It's us. Jesus is saying to us, you're alive today because I have planned it. I have predestined you to live at this time for the fiat voluntas tua, sequel in cielo and in terra, to occur on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I couldn't give you a greater time to be alive. There's no doom and gloom. There's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. There will be no sin. This is what's coming. Jesus says this. This is why I, Jesus, wanted another yes, another fiat in my volition. Another fiat contained the creative power. See, the fiat is the creative power of God. Just fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom come and reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, man, that thou art dust. This is why I, Jesus, wanted another yes in my volition, another fiat containing the creative power of God. I, Jesus, want the fiat which rises at every instant and multiplies in everyone, past, present, and future. So he's saying to us, would you be the voice for all of mankind? Would you stand in the breach for all of mankind? You look at your families. It's not to compromise. But Jesus says your families, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners haven't got the strength to say fiat because they're living their own life. They're doing their own things. And he says to us, would you do it for them? Would you stand in the breach for them? That's what he said to Luisa. Would you do this for all of mankind? And Luisa said, yes. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. She's the saint of the divine will. So what does Jesus say to us? He says, I offered it to Luisa. She said fiat. Will you say fiat? Will you work with Luisa so that the kingdom of God can come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven? That's what Jesus is asking us. He says very clearly, I want to give you this creative power that I want the fiat which rises at every instant and multiplies in everyone. I, Jesus, want in a soul. You, Luisa, the first. My own fiat. Mary took the fiat of Jesus. Fiat lux, let there be light. She made the fiat mihi, let it be done to me, as you say, as you wish. And now Jesus says to Louisa, since Our Lady has done this, Theotokos, Mother of God, now you, Louisa, I need a human to do this. My mother did it. She's the queen of heaven and earth. I did it. I'm the king of heaven and earth. I need a human born of original sin to do it. Would you do this, Louisa? And Louisa said, yes. He says, your yes in my will. I want this prayer, the Fiat Voluntas Tua. I want another yes. I want the Fiat. I want this creative power in a human, born of original sin. It's already happened in the Mother of God, Theotokos. See, it's what do we say on Assumption, August 15th, where Our Lady has gone, we hope to follow. Where Our Lady is, we hope to possess. So he says, I, Jesus, want a soul, my own fiat, which ascends to my throne and by its creative power brings upon earth the life of the fiat on earth as it is in heaven. See, so Jesus is saying to us, Louisa's done it. And my mother has done it as Theotokos, my Louisa, the newborn, she's done it. Will you be willing to do this? And our response should be, yes, I want to accomplish what you, Jesus, want. I want what you, Lord God Almighty, want. I want nothing less than what you, Lord God, want. God goes, good. Then he says, prove it. He wants, your words are good. Your words are important. It's good to say yes to God. But then you got to prove it. You got to prove it. And so God tests us every day. He has to test us to see whether or not we pass the test. Let's look at the saints. Let's look at Abraham. You know, I will give you a son and your children will be as vast as the stars in the sky or the sands on the seashore. Then he says, I want your son. What does Abraham say? Yes. He's got to test us. And when he's ready to sacrifice his son, the angel came and said, that's all we wanted to know, that you were willing to do this. But what happens? The Heavenly Father sacrifices his son for us. And we have to understand, our Heavenly Mother sacrificed her son for us. She offered him up to the Father. Son, I want you crucified. Why? Because the Father wants you crucified. That's an unbelievable thing. A mother not only watching her son die, but wanting it because the Father wanted it. And we don't have to go through that. But Our Lady did. Surprised and annihilated. This is Louisa. Jesus just said, I want you, Louisa, with the creative power of God to bring the on earth the life of the fiat in a human. She was surprised and annihilated in hearing this. And I said, Jesus, what are you saying? Yeah, you know how bad and incapable of anything I am. She knows her sinfulness. And Jesus, my daughter, Louisa, it is my usual way to choose the most abject, unable, poor souls for my greatest works. That's us. We are most abject, unable, and a poor soul for this greatest work, which is the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, the great gift of the divine will on earth as it is in heaven. We're at the bottom of the barrel. God can't find anybody else. They can't find anybody else. Everybody's doing their own thing. And if you've ever seen the bottom of a barrel, if you ever made wine, the bottom of the barrel is not the most beautiful thing in the world. That's us. It's fermenting. and it's bubbling, and it's, you know, if you've ever made grapes, I remember the first time they made grapes, I made wine, and I cleaned each grape, made sure and nothing was on it. I mean, it took me forever. And somebody came over and they said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I want the best wine." He says, "You want the best wine?" He grabs this branch and it's filled with spiders and webs, and he throws it in and he says, "That's how you make the best wine." That's us. That God is using us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. And he needs us to just say, "Via." He'll take care of it. He knows how to make great wine. He saves the best for last. He always does. And this is the end. John Paul II used to say that. He used to say, we are living in the end times. And then he says, the reason I'm saying them, the end times is, he says, St. Paul said we were living in the end times. And if he says that was the end of times, we're really in the end of times. So that's where we are. We have to understand this. Look around. It's not over. It's just beginning. The kingdom is coming. When you get $1 trillion of gold and you have a little shanty, you wipe the shanty out of the way and you build a palace. That's the New Jerusalem. Jesus is building it for us. There's no reason to be doom and gloomy. That's not. We have to be children of the resurrection, children of light, children of life. Again, and it doesn't matter how bad you were before. What matters is we say, now, this is what I want. I turn back to you, Lord, have mercy on my soul. This is what God is saying. So she says, "What are you saying? You know how bad and how incapable I am at anything." And Jesus said, "My daughter, it is my usual way to choose the most abject, unable, poor souls for my greatest work. Even my mama had nothing extraordinary in her exterior life. No miracles, not a sign that would distinguish her from other women. Only her only distinction was perfect virtue, to which almost nobody paid attention." She was ignored. They didn't care because they were doing what they wanted. See, it's what the Lord does is he says, "I'm asking you, who are the most ignorant souls," he says, "you haven't done any miracles. You haven't done anything extraordinary. He says, "But I want perfect virtue from you." What is perfect virtue? It's to begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. And you learn how to do this every day, little by little. It's fiat. God will present to you a situation. And if you can say fiat, you pass the test. If you're peaceful in saying fiat, you pass the test. But if God presents you a situation and you go, fiat, it's like, you're not really passing the test. You've got to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. I trust in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I have confidence in Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. If we don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, if we don't spend time in front of the crucifix, that's why I said Mel Gibson's movie, watch it over and over and over. Watch it. If we don't know the love of God, then we can't say fiat. I have a friend. He says this all the time. Why me? Why me? And if God has given you something that is difficult, a trial, he's saying, I'm bringing you, your place in heaven gets higher. Your time in purgatory gets shorter. When you learn how to say the fiat, this is what God is asking. And when we learn this fiat, when we learn to say yes, he says, what does he say? You will be given my greatest works. Even my mother had nothing, she said, compared to other women. Her only distinction was perfect virtue. So what Our Lady is asking us is to live a life of purity. That's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary, which Luisa possesses. Luisa La Santa, the saint of the divine will. He says, if I had given the distinction of miracles to other saints or adorned with others my wounds, to my mama, nothing, nothing. Yet she, Mary, was the portent of portents. She, Mary, was the miracle of miracles. She, Mary, was the true and perfect crucified. No one else like her. She was on Calvary with her son. True and perfect crucified. What is Jesus telling us? You want to become the portent of portents? You want to become the miracle of miracles? You want to become like Our Lady? You have to be true and perfect crucified. That's fiat. She gave her fiat mihi. Our job now is to be one, to have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, one with Luisa. We don't go to Luisa for Luisa. We go to Luisa because she has the true life of the new Adam, true life of the new Eve. That's why I love Luisa. It's because she has this life, this purity that God is calling all of us to live in, the pure life of Jesus, the pure life of Mary. This is not about doing the will of God that God taught the saints, but living in the will of God as Jesus and Mary did. This is a glorious time to be alive, an amazing time to be alive. And as everything's falling apart around us, it's really not falling apart. God's getting everything in order. He's letting us pick a side. He's letting us choose. And why is he doing that? He has to give us what we want. He gave the devil what he wanted, hell. He has to say, what do you want? What will make you happy? What will make you happy? Now, the Lord loves us. He doesn't want us to be eternally lost. He doesn't want us going to hell. But if we're living a life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin, we're already in hell. There's no peace. There's no joy. There's no happiness. What does Our Lady say? She says, if you want peace, it has to start in here. How do we get peaceful? How do we get full of peace? Listen to Jesus speak to you. Listen to Mary speak to you. How do we hear Jesus and Mary? God has given us the book of heaven. And you go through the book of heaven once, and then the second time, and then the third time, and then the fourth time. You can't stop being happy. You're just, it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that no one yet possesses. It's glimpses that God is giving us, and it is magnificent. It is wonderful. It is joyful. It is peaceful. It is happy. It's heaven. And I can always tell someone in the divine will who's upset. If they're worried, if they're complaining, if they're negative, they're not reading. They can't say fiat. We have to learn this fiat. Jesus spent 70 years of Luisa's life when her bed, this is what Archbishop Vicari says, 70 years of Luisa's life was in bed. She could walk. God said to her, go to bed and stay there. At 17, she said, okay. When later on, Jesus said to her, stop eating. She stopped eating. It wasn't magic. She was hungry. She was starving. She couldn't. Then he said, stop drinking. And then he said, stop sleeping. She obeyed. God doesn't do that to us. We couldn't do it. Can you imagine? I mean, a day in a bed when you can walk. It's difficult when you're a day in a bed when you can't walk. But here is a soul. The test that God gave to Adam was don't eat of that tree or you will die that day. And he died at 930 years old. He died when a day was like 1,000 years and 1,000 years was like a day. Do you understand what the kingdom is going to be like? And when somebody says, I can't wait for that 1,000-day reign, that's just the first day. What's coming is the kingdom. And our Lord is asking us to get ready, to begin to live this abundant life. So Jesus says this. He says, I, Jesus, usually act like a master who has two servants. One of them seems and Herculean giant, good at everything. The other one is short, unable, and seems to be good at nothing. That's us. Not one important service. We're good at nothing. We can't do anything. I mean, if you really think about it. And if he keeps that person, that good for nothing, it is more for charity, more for fun. Now, having to send $1 billion to another country, what does he do? He calls the little incapable one and entrusts the great sum to him, saying to himself, if I give it to the giant, all will fix their attention on him. Thieves may attack him and rob him. And if he tries to defend himself with his Herculean strength, he may be wounded. I know he is capable, but I want to spare him. I do not want to expose him to the obvious danger. On the other hand, nobody will pay attention to this little one. That's us. That's us. Knowing him to be incapable, no one would think that I would entrust such an important sum to him, and he will come back safe and sound. See, God knows what he's giving to the church, to the world, is it's a new beginning. It's sanctification. And so what does God do? He gives it to Louisa, a nobody. And then he says to us, do you want to have what I gave to Louisa? We're nobodies. We're nothings. So God is saying to us, watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I am going to do. I'm going to prove to the world it's not you, it's God. I'm going to prove to the world this great gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this apostle of apostolate that God is going to do. How do we know God is going to do it? Well, he tells Louisa that, number one. But St. Louis de Montfort says that. St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. God is going to do it. We don't do anything. We just say, fiat. Okay, Lord, let it be done as you wish. Fiat. I need you, Lord, to do this because I can't do it. God goes, good. Jesus says this to Louisa. The greatest gift I can give to humanity is to let them know who they are and who God is. We are nothing. God is everything. And once we understand that, we become children of God because God works with nothing. He makes great miracles out of nothing. And that's what he's asking. He's asking us, would you step out of the way? Would you get out? That's why he says to Louisa, we did a whole talk on that where Jesus says to Louisa, get out of the way. I'm going to do this. Louisa, basta, stop. I'm going to do this. Get out of the way. And what does Louisa say? She goes, fiat, okay, you do it. She says, I can't do it. You have to do this, Lord. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. I know you can do this because I can't. God goes, good. So he just explains, instead of a giant who can fight his way through, he gives it to us. We're nobodies. We're nothings. We're little, insignificant, and hidden. Nobody even notices us. This is great. This is how we want to live. And what happens? He says this. He will come back safe and sound. Okay. The poor, incapable one is surprised that the Lord would trust him when he could have used the giant. And all trembling and humble, he goes to deposit the great sum with no one deigning to give him even a glance. So he returns safe and sound to his Lord, more trembling and humble than before. God is going to do great things. He's got it all planned, but he needs us to get out of the way. And so what does he say? He says, don't try to figure this out. Let me explain this to you. Let me show you. And every day when you read the book of heaven, God expands your capacity to understand a little more of what God has planned. A little more of what God has planned. He's got this, he's got everything ready. What's coming is a new beginning for all of mankind. What's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. What's coming is the evil one is going to be banished from earth, where there'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. You have to look at the sign of the times. It's a new beginning that's happening. It really is happening in our lifetime. And Jesus is saying, if I have to, I will wait centuries to bring the kingdom. We have to say to Jesus, we don't want you to wait centuries. We want this now. God goes, good. Prove it. How do you want this now? Are you living a life of peace, joy, and happiness? Are you living a life filled with joy? Are you living a life of spending time with our Eucharistic Lord in front of the monstrance? Are you spending time with our God, our King, our Savior, our Master? Are you falling in love with Jesus? Or are you reading a book when you're in front of him? See, it's to fall in love with God. It's to fall in love with God. And St. Teresa says this is the only time where we can freely love God. When we see God after we die, we will fall on our faces to adore him. He is so beautiful, so perfect, so loving. We won't be able to stand in front of him. He's so beautiful. We will fall on our faces to adore him. He's holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. You know, what do we do when going to church? We bounce off our knee. No, you genuflect to say to the Lord, you're my Lord, you're my King, you're my Savior, you're my God, you're my all. I adore you. I praise you. Do with me as you wish. That's why we go on, we genuflect. It's the great things are coming. Amazing things are coming. And God has asked us to be alive at this time. So I, Jesus, do. The greater the work I, Jesus, want to do, the more I, Jesus, choose abject, poor, ignorant souls with no outward appearance, which may expose them. That's us. That's us. And so he's asking us, are you willing to be like this? What did the Pope say when he first became Pope? He says, people spend more money on makeup. More money on makeup than on nuclear weapons. And then he said another time, more people spend more money on dog food and cat food than for baby food. We've got our priorities wrong. We really got our priorities wrong. And we have to begin, to turn our life over to him by learning to say fiat in all situations. From the moment you wake up until the moment you fall asleep, everything should be focused on God. Our God, he says, he wants to be recognized. He wants to be loved. He wants to be thanked. And he says, he finds no one. He tells that to Luisa. I find no one that wants to do this. Everybody's involved in their own life. So he says to us, would you be willing to get out of the way so that you can give to God what God deserves in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven? He says, this is the apostle of apostolates. Are you willing to do this? And when we say yes, he goes, prove it. Okay, so he's asking us, he's pleading with us, are you willing to bring about the fulfillment of the Our Father, your kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven? And we say, yes, Lord. And he goes, okay, I will show you how and why it's going to be done. That's why we read every day. And there's tons of stuff to read. You could spend 24/7 just going over everything that's in the book of heaven. It's so full. Jesus says every word that he speaks as the word of God is a divine life, which will fill a library. Every word that Jesus speaks will fill a library. what the church is going to recognize is what he gave to Louisa is how to become sanctified, how to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, how to live that purity of Jesus and Mary. That's what he's teaching. That's what he taught Louisa. Now he wants to teach us that. So he says, the abject state of the soul serves as a safe custody for my work. We are nothing. God is everything. I am nothing. God is everything. That's the joy of being nothing. In this nothingness that God is calling us out of nothingness, that we're nothing. What God is asking is that he be in charge of this to produce my my something magnificent, something the most. Oh, I can't think of it. My mind's blank. I want to bring about my each person as my own divine masterpiece. That's what he says to Louisa. I want each and every one of my children to become God's masterpiece. I mean, you go to a museum, everything's different in a museum. Those are masterpieces, but they're not God's masterpieces. We have to become God's masterpiece. That's what God's waiting for. If we're a canvas and it's blank, God says, let me put the drawing on it. Let me put the painting on it. Let me put the colors, the tones on it. Let me make of you what I have planned from the beginning of time. He says this to Louisa. Every part of our life has been written already of what God expects of us, what God has planned for us. But we have to get out of the way. We don't push his hand out of the way saying, I don't want that brush. I don't want that color. I want this tone. I want this shape. No. Let it be done to me as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission is what God is looking for. So he can create us to be his divine masterpiece. I mean, can you imagine? God's divine masterpiece. The thieves of self-esteem, see, we don't want that. The thieves of love of self, we don't want that, will not pay attention to him. We've got to get away from self-esteem. We got to get away from self-will. Knowing his inability, we're nothing, God is everything. And he humble and trembling will carry out the work entrusted by me. What's that? Fiat. Fiat. Something happens, fiat, Lord. I don't understand it. I don't know why, but fiat. You're my king. You're my savior. You're my Lord. I have to trust you. You know what is needed at this point. Look at Abraham. We all have to go through that test of Abraham, the thing that we love the most. God is asking us to humbly and trembling carry out the work entrusted by God. Fiat. Knowing that he has done nothing by himself, we can do nothing, but that Jesus did everything in him. That's what God wants to do. That's what the divine will is. It's a new beginning that your spiritual life becomes alive in a way that's going to every day. It's a new day. Every day it's more beautiful. Jesus is speaking to us as you read. He's touching our heart, our mind, our soul. He's asking us to allow him to be, that we become his divine masterpiece. Great things are in store. Great things are happening. What a great time to be alive. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Those are the two words of John Paul II and Pope Benedict. Do not be afraid and be courageous. You have to understand this is the time that God has asked us to be alive. You pray with confidence. You pray with you. Ask, believe it, and you will receive it, Jesus says. So I end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Honor the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next month.